Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges, chapter 16. We'll read verses 18 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Judges, chapter 16, verses 18 through 21. Judges, chapter 16, verses 18 through 21. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and he caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I'll go out as at other times before, and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for what you do for us in this place. Sure is good just to be here with family, gather around the Word of God, and hear the man of God preach it. Father, this morning was wonderful. It was blessed, and your presence was here. But this morning's blessings won't do. We're such a needful and sinful people. We need you again tonight. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our eyes as we look at ourselves and look towards you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is this: Pride is Blinding. Pride is Blinding. Before I really get into the sermon, I want to do a brief 2 or 3 minute explanation about something. And I was speaking with Brother Rich Stoltz. Brother Stoltz and I one day were sitting in my office and we were talking. And we just started talking about the Bible a little bit. He made a few comments to me. And as a result, I added them a bit to this sermon. So tonight, if you leave this place angry, don't be angry with me. Be angry with Brother Stoltz. This sermon is his fault. The Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." I've quoted that verse to myself over and over and over again. But I want you to notice something there in that verse. It speaks of 2 levels of problem: pride and haughty spirit. 2 different things. Then there are 2 levels of result, or 2 different results for the 2 different problems. It says a haughty spirit has something to do with a fall, but pride has something to do with destruction. Now, there's a big difference in my thinking in a fall and a destruction. That haughty spirit is an arrogant cockiness in a given situation, and God said, "Now that'll lead you to a fall." But if you have become a person full of pride, that is going to lead to destruction. I would much rather take a fall than be destroyed. The sermon tonight is called "Pride is Blinding." Earlier, we read a passage of scripture from Judges chapter number 16. Samson is mentioned here, and the story is about him. Samson was at one time a very powerful man, both physically and spiritually. It said more of Samson than any other man in the entire Bible that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Samson was known for his superhuman strength. That was because God had given him that superhuman strength to fight God's enemies. But I believe Samson became proud. You see, Samson's parents had taught him to find a woman that loved God. But Samson, being full of pride, thought he knew better than his mom and dad, knew better than his upbringing, and therefore he picked a woman from another tribe and a woman that did not love God. Well, he met a woman by the name of Delilah. She really was a friend of the devil. She was out to destroy him. She agreed to get to help Samson's enemies capture him. So here he is. He is now in pride, gone against his upbringing, thinking he knows better. He finds this woman. He has no idea. The whole plan now is that this woman is going to try to help him to be captured by the enemy. The Philistines were the enemy. They wanted to capture him and restrain his power because he was a powerful man. And so in his pride, he risks his power with God by associating with the wrong crowd. She asks Samson, she says, "Honey, what's the secret to your great physical power?" He answers her. He tells her a fib. He says to her, "If you'll bind me with 7 green vines that have never been dried, then my power will be taken from me." Her response is, she binds him with these 7 green vines that have never been dried. Then she says, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he breaks the cords. And there had actually been some Philistines waiting in private, unbeknownst to Samson. They were going to grab him if his power was gone. And they were going to take him and capture him. But when she says, "The Philistines be upon thee," he rips these cords out and beats the stuffings out of these fellas. And she finds out he had told her a fib. Again, at another time, she says, "Samson, honey, tell me, what is the secret to your power?" He says, "If you'll tie me up with new ropes." They go through the same process. She ties him up with new ropes. She says, "The Philistines be upon thee." And so these men that were in wait, just waiting to see if his power was gone, Samson breaks through the new ropes and beats the stuffings out of these guys. And the plot is foiled again. Then she asks him again, "What's the secret to your power?" He says, "Well, you take my hair and you weave it into 7 locks and you put this hairpin in it." And so she takes his hair and she weaves it. And I don't know if it meant braided it or put it in 7 little ponytails of some sort. And then she puts his hairpin in his hair. And hey, notice he's getting closer and closer to the truth. But he puts that hairpin in, she puts a hairpin in his hair, and now the Philistines are waiting in private. He does not know they're there. She says, "The Philistines be upon thee." He stands up, beats the stuffings out of these Philistines, and they go on. And again she asks, she says, "Can you tell me, what is a secret to your power?" And he says, "If you cut off my hair, my strength will leave me." So he takes a nap, not worried a bit about it. She cuts his hair off, and she yells, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And he didn't even have the strength, the Bible says, to push her away. Next thing you know, the Philistines come and they capture him. The Bible says this in Judges 16:20, "And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." So now he lost his strength. And let me say this right here. Some people think it was because he got his hair cut that he lost his power. That's not really true. It was his pride and disobedience that brought the loss of the power. The hair was just a little step in the procedure. So look at how he responds, though. He says here, she's cut his hair, and she yells, "The Philistines be upon thee." And the Bible says, he says, "I will go out as other times." You know what that means? He woke up, and in his cockiness, he said, "Here we go again. Going to have to go out here and lick these guys." The Bible says he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He was so arrogant. He was so full of pride that he said, "Just like all the other times, I can handle it." He doesn't even realize that now he has lost the power of God. He was so full of pride, he had no idea how weak he actually was. The Bible says in Judges 16:21, "But the Philistines took him, and they put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters and brass, and he did grind in the prison house." They blinded him. I told you the title of my sermon tonight is "Pride is Blinding." Pride is blinding. Well, I believe Samson had already become spiritually blind. His arrogance and his pride has already blinded him. He didn't even know that he'd become weak. Why? He was so cocky and so arrogant and so proud, he did not even realize that he had lost all of his physical and spiritual strength. But now, so God could illustrate further, the Philistines take him and actually put his eyes out. And now you add physical blindness to the spiritual blindness that Samson had created in his life. Let me read a verse to you from Obadiah, verse number 3. It says this: "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" The Bible says here, pride is deceiving. What's it mean? Pride makes you see something that's not really there. Pride messes with your eyes. Samson wasn't seeing himself right. Samson ends up having his physical eyes put out as a result of his pride. Now let me give you some practical applications of this thought that pride is blinding. Stay with me on point number one, especially, probably the most important point of the entire lesson. Pride blinds you to your pride. Pride blinds you to your pride. I was reading in Daniel chapter 5. In verse number 20, it says this: "But when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride." This was a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible says that this man had become full of pride, and in this pride process, it had hardened his mind. What had happened? His pride had messed with his mind, and he didn't realize he had a problem with pride. Pride messed up his mind, so he couldn't see that he had pride. In this, the Bible teaches, and I can't tell you the whole story, this king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar had been full of pride. As a result of it, it hardened his mind, it messed up his mind, and he didn't realize his problem was a pride problem. And the Bible says that it ended up taking away his glory, it ended up taking away his success and his throne. He wouldn't admit he was proud. And the Bible teaches that as a result of it, this guy actually begins to lose his mind. He started acting like an animal. The Bible says he began to behave like an animal and crawling around on all fours. Boy, will pride mess you up. You see, I said point number one is that pride blinds you to your pride. Pride messes with your mind, so your mind won't think right about the sin of pride. The biggest problem pride produces is that it blinds you to itself. See what he means? Pride blinds you to pride. They say this. They say the hardest part of helping an alcoholic is getting them to admit they're an alcoholic. Because an alcoholic says, "Well, I don't really have a problem. I can stop at any time I need to stop. I don't need anybody to. I know what I'm doing." They say once you can get an alcoholic to admit that he's an alcoholic, that is the first step to helping him get away from the liquor. And I must say to you tonight, the hardest part about helping a proud person, getting them convinced that they're a proud person. You can't help somebody with their pride when they won't admit they're proud. There are situations in your life that could be made better if you admitted that you were acting in pride. Pride messes up your mind. One of the first parts of your mind that it messes up is your ability to sense your own pride. The devil gets you into pride. He wants to mess up your pride mechanism so you don't understand and see yourself as a proud person. So the haughty spirit comes, and then the pride comes, and then destruction follows. So pride blinds you to your pride. Number two, pride will blind you from biblical truth. It'll blind you to biblical truth. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Here, the Bible's telling us we're to trust in the Lord. We're to lean not into our own understanding. We're to acknowledge him in all our ways and let him direct all our paths. And we're not to be wise in our own eyes. Do you see God does not want us proud about the direction of our lives and the decisions that we make? Hey, does your pride blind you during your Bible reading time? Does your pride blind you during Young Fundamentalists? How about it, teenager? Do you sit in Young Fundamentalists, Brother Owens is up there preaching, and your pride has you blind, and you're not even getting the spiritual truths that he's sharing with you from the Bible? I will not say who, but I can say this. I preach to our teenagers time and time again. And I remember at the beginning of this school year, I stood up and I preached a sermon called Smite the Scorner, That the Simple Will Beware. Someone that it had never clicked in their mind. I could not get their attention to get them to make spiritual decisions. That day, it was obvious that we got down to where they live and we took the blinders off of them in regard to their pride. They suddenly obeyed that spiritual truth, and I have seen a turnaround in that teenager ever since. Ever since. But pride had blinded that person, and they were not seeing the truth of the Word of God. Pride blinds you to the truth of the Word of God. Pride will blind you during Sunday school. Pride will blind you during our preaching services. Pride will blind you during counseling.
Right.
I have sat with folks. I have said something. Their pride, it's almost as if I didn't even say it. They took it totally different than the way it was meant. I think, phew. I don't know how they got that out of that. But they did. Why? Blind? Blinded by what? I'm right. I know what I'm doing. This is right. Pride blinds people to the truth of the Word of God. Proud people already know everything in the Bible, so they never learn anything new. What? They never learn anything new. Now listen. You say, well, Brother Owens, you say there's nothing new under the sun. You're absolutely right. There is nothing new in the Bible. But my friend, you don't know everything that's in there yet. No, there's no new truth. But there is some new truth to you. So some of you in your arrogance say, well, you say there is no new truth. And I guess I just keep hearing the same old things and that's all I ever hear. You got a problem. No, there's no new truth in this book, but there's a whole bunch of truth in this book that's new to you.
Right.
See, pride blinds you to your pride. Secondly, pride blinds you to biblical truth. Number three, pride blinds you to your own weaknesses. Judges 16:20, the last part of the verse, this is about Samson again. It says, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. What happened? This guy was so arrogant. He said, I'll shake myself out and go do what I've always done. His pride had blinded him to how weak he was. Has your pride hidden from you your weaknesses? Hey, listen. Is it possible that you have a major weakness about which you know nothing? Think about it. Is it possible that you have a major weakness about which you know nothing? Are you self-destructing, but not right before your own eyes? You know how we say, that happened right before my own eyes. Well, maybe you're self-destructing, but it's not right before your own eyes. Why? You're blind to it. Let me tell you something. I had a man, and this story was told to me. A pastor had said to one of his men, he said, you know, I feel like you need to get a checkup and you need to have your health checked on. And the man, in arrogance and very, very proud, said, "I'm a picture of health. I'm a picture of health. I'm fine." He said, "Look at me. He said, look at me. I'm a picture of health." For some reason, his pastor told me this. He said, "I went back to him. And I said to him, I feel like you ought to go and get a checkup. It'd just be a good thing to do." The man said, "I don't need a checkup." About a year and a half later, the man became very ill. They said he had cancer. Get this. And started his skin cancer on his back where he couldn't see it. Isn't that interesting? I'm a picture of health. I don't need your advice. I don't look. From all indications, look at me. The way I see it, I'm fine. Okay, maybe there's something you don't see. And maybe it is your pride that has blinded you from a disease, a spiritual disease. He said, it's on his back, see. Couldn't see it. Hey, what spiritual disease is on your back? And it is your pride that keeps you from seeing what's on your back. See, pride blinds you to your own weaknesses. Pride blinds you to your own pride. Pride blinds you to biblical truth. Pride blinds you to your own weaknesses. Pride blinds you to other people's strengths. Your pride will blind you from seeing somebody else's strengths. I don't, you know, we don't talk around here a bunch about preachers across the country, nor are we going to start that. We're going to serve the Lord here and let everybody else do whatever they want to do out there. I'm not going to mess up my church by bringing the politics of the world home here. But I can tell you this, I am sometimes amazed at how many preachers, because of their pride, cannot see the strengths of other good men and other good churches. I'm just amazed at that. Just amazed at it. Pride, though, can blind us from seeing our own weaknesses. But then that very same blinding force created by pride keeps us from seeing other people's strengths. Listen, in Samson's pride, he said, "Here I go, just like all the other times." The Bible says he wist not that the Spirit of God and the power of God had left him. He was so arrogant, he didn't even see how weak he was. And at the same time, he didn't see how powerful the Philistines were. His pride had him blinded to the strength of somebody else. You know, you ever meet those people who think that everybody around them are the idiots? Surrounded by a weak Christian. Nobody understands but me. Funny how I'm the one that's right and everybody else is wrong. Funny how you're blind to the strengths of the other people. In some cases, they are the weak one. Hey, how good are you at pointing out other people's strengths? We passed out a piece of paper tonight and I listed 25 people here in this church and asked you to list all their strengths. How could you do? You say, "Whew, this is hard." Then let me ask you this. If I passed out a piece of paper tonight and asked you to list everybody's weaknesses, how would you do? Somebody said, "Well, I have no problem there." Proud people are very good at telling you everybody else's weaknesses. You know, if we're reasonable and realistic, everybody here can have a tendency to be a little negative here or there. You know, it probably wouldn't be so bad if somebody were a little negative here or there and positive the rest of the time. How are you at doling out compliments about other people's strengths? How good are you at pointing out the strength of the one that you have spent your time criticizing? Have you noticed any of their strengths? It would help some of you if you would just sit down and write down the strengths of that person in the church that you don't like. So why am I going to do it? Well, you're rebellious. And you're full of pride. Well, I don't want to think about that. I enjoy thinking about their negatives. Yeah, you enjoy your depression. You enjoy your loneliness. Look, you know, one of the first things I do is when I feel a little irritation coming on about somebody in the church, I immediately say to myself, they're faithful, they tithe, I think they love the Lord. I start listing all their positives. Pride blinds you to other people's strengths. Pride blinds you to your own weaknesses. Pride blinds you to biblical truth. Pride, its ultimate goal is to blind you that you're guilty of pride. Let me go on. Number five, pride blinds you to the fact that it is pride that's holding you back from being used of God more. Pride blinds you to the fact that it is pride that is holding you back from being used of God more. Do you know the main reason why people don't clean their lives up? Pride. The more you clean up your life, the more you can be used of God. Psalm 73:6 says, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. What's it mean? Pride chains you down. Pride, as a chain, holds you back. Pride handcuffs you to a lack of productivity. Pride is like handcuffs. Pride is like shackles. Keeps you from going forward for God. See, you think it is someone else that's holding you back. I wonder if your pride, like a chain, is what's holding you back from doing something for God. What is it that you will not humble yourself to do for God to qualify to be used of God in a greater way? What is that? The ultimate sin that makes people unusable in God's service is pride. That's the ultimate sin. And if we're not careful, we will limit how much God can use us. Why? Pride. Pride. Let me move on. Number six. Pride blinds you to what the real problem is in your home or in your marriage. I said, pride can blind you to what the real problem is in your home or in your marriage. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs 15:25 says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. The house of the proud? The house of the proud. Now, why didn't God say, the Lord will destroy a proud husband? Or the Lord will destroy a proud wife. He said the house of the proud because I'll tell you a couple things here. I think first of all, he's saying pride, if you're not careful, pride will become the behavior of many people in the same house. Pride can run in the family if it's allowed to. The house of the proud. Or a proud father who leads his house, he's going to hurt his whole family if he's not careful. How? Pride. Pride. But, hey, what's the problem at your house? Why is it that it's hell on earth at your house? Teenager? Are you full of pride? That way you fuss with your mom and dad? Brothers and sisters? Husband? Are you full of pride? Wife, are you full of pride? I could take you to a couple of marriages. No adultery. Just pride. And they will be destroyed. Arrogant. Won't listen. There are four major causes of marital problems. Not getting along with the rest of the family, the in-laws. Not getting along about rearing the children. Financial problems. And then the intimate life. Four causes of marital problems. There's usually one problem for marital destruction. P-R-I-D-E. Somebody won't humble down. It's usually that's what destroys marriages. Pride destroys marriages. The other four things cause marriages to fall and stumble and mess up. Pride blinds you to what the real problem is in your home. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 15:25. Let me give you a couple more and we're done. Pride blinds you to the real cause of your relationship problems. Now we're leaving home. Pride blinds you to the real cause of your relationship problems. Listen to this very carefully. Proverbs 13:10 says this: only by pride cometh contention. Now when the Bible says only, what that means in the Hebrew there is only. You catch that? An exegesis of the Old Testament scripture. Only. 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 Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride husbands and wives don't get along. Only by pride people within a church can't get along. Only. 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 What a powerful word. Only by pride cometh contention. Listen to this. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Are you a strife stirrer? We could fix every relationship problem in this church tonight, small and large. You say how? Fix the pride. Problem gone. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Get right with God. Get right with each other. We go home happily ever after. I will if they will. Okay. Go on back. I will if they will. Let's see, what's that say again? Only by pride cometh contention. Let me say this and I'm finished. Number 8. Your pride blinds others to your potential. Your pride blinds others to your potential. Listen very carefully. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 4, he is proud, knowing nothing. Wow. He is proud, knowing nothing. Because of pride, you end up getting credit for knowing nothing. Now, wait a minute. Do you know nothing? No. Of course not. You know something. But your pride blinds others to seeing what good you could do. Because your pride is so overbearing, it virtually in the minds of people cancel out your potential. So this is what they say. I don't want to work with them. They're so arrogant and full of pride, I'd rather find somebody else to use. I promise you, happens all the time. You could be full of ability, but your pride dwarfs your ability. Got it all together. You have everything to offer. But you're full of pride and we can't see what you have to offer. All we see is your arrogance. Scared to death to work with you. Why? Afraid to work with you because you're going to tell everybody how it ought to be done. Nobody does it right. Nobody's smart enough to do it your way. Why even use you then? I'll go find somebody that knows nothing but not full of pride. They're easy to work with. There won't be contention. Because who in the world wants contention? That pride means we're going to have eventual contention. So we'd rather not have the contention. So we stay away from the pride. And the Bible says he is proud knowing nothing. But wait a minute. Does he know something? Yes, he does. But it's merely saying that your pride blinds others to your potential. It is as if your pride hinders other people from seeing what you could do and what you could be. So, Brother Orson, do you think we ought to believe in everybody? Sure. I think we ought to believe in everybody. Absolutely, I do. There's only one problem. The only person who can take care of your pride is you.
Right.
Until you take care of that, it makes it pretty difficult for anybody to see past it. He's proud, knowing nothing. I believe that Samson became lifted up in pride. His pride brought his disobedience. His disobedience brought his fall and virtually his destruction. Pride blinds. He had his eyes put out physically, but he already had had his eyes put out spiritually. And pride will blind you to what? Primarily, it will blind you to your own pride. Number two, pride will blind you to spiritual truth and biblical truth. Number three, pride blinds you of your own weaknesses. Number four, pride blinds you to other people's strength. Number five, pride will blind you to the fact that it is your pride that's holding you back. You're chained by your pride and you don't get to go forward for God. Number six, pride blinds you to what the real problem is in your home or marriage. Number seven, it is pride that brings contention. Number eight, your pride blinds other people to your potential, for he is proud, knowing nothing. Proud people make themselves look like idiots to everybody else. Everybody said, what are you doing? Wake up! What's wrong with you? Can't you see? No, you can't. You're blind. So caught up in I'm right, do it my way, I know this is right. And remember, a haughty spirit, that comes before a fall. Pride then leads to destruction. Somewhere tucked in this lesson is something for all of us. Let's learn and be careful of this thing called pride. I looked up the word pride in the Hebrew language. It means one that mounts up and rides alone. Climb on that horse and ride. Just do what you want. Go where you want. Ride alone. Let's be careful that we don't practice pride. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you did not get point number one, you did not get the rest of the points. Not truly. Because point number one is your pride will blind you from realizing you got a pride problem. So if you don't really get that one, you're not going to get the help you needed from the other 7 points. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. You cannot save yourself. Nobody ever has and nobody ever will. It would be proudful of you to say tonight, I'll get to heaven and I'll do it myself. No, you'll have to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to get saved. You'll have to humble yourself and realize you're a sinner and that Jesus is the Savior. You'll either accept Him as Savior and get saved or die and go to hell because of what? Your pride. You're going to take care of yourself. You ain't going to take care of yourself. You have to be saved to go to heaven. Jesus' way, not your way. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Preacher, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. And you'll raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. Let me tell you, if you're not saved tonight, in a second we're going to have an altar call. It won't last long. But I'll tell you this. We're going to begin to sing. We're going to stand in a second. And if you're not saved, leave your seat. Walk toward the front. There'll be a man standing at the end of each aisle on the lower level. Walk up to him and say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I also believe this. I believe that this sermon is a revealing sermon. Not intended to be harsh. Intended to be revealing. If you need the altar tonight, you come and let God deal with your heart. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time.